Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Die, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. He was in the Cats chorus and covered Old Deuteronomy in the third and fourth U.S. tours of Cats. So welcome, Austin Jatong, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I am very excited. I'm starting to talk to more of your cast. And I have talked to a lot of the 2016 Broadway Revival and the most recent tour. So I've always started with the question about, you know, your introduction to Cats, but I think it's very different for your tour where you were kind of like right in the middle of the craziness of Cats.
Yes.
So tell me about the 80s with Cats. Like I heard it was the show. Like it was the thing that was all the buzz to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely the Hamilton of today. I mean, everybody wanted to do Cats. And for me, it was ironic because I'm a singer. I'm not a dancer. I'm a singer who moves well. So for me to get into a show like Cats was just phenomenal. I do remember the audition three or four times, the callbacks. I didn't have to dance. I didn't have to do any movement because they were looking at me immediately for Old Deuteronomy. Again, of which I was shocked because I wasn't going to go to the audition. I felt that there was nothing in it for me. It was my voice teacher who convinced me to go. He says, "You have the voice for Old Deuteronomy." I said, "But I don't have the right size and I'm not tall enough." He goes, "They can pad you. They can put you in heels." So reluctantly, I went. When I got there, there were 60 or so guys in the room waiting to go in, guys much bigger than me, much taller than I was. And I thought, I'm defeated. Well, my motto is just go in and show them what you got. They would come out one at a time and be disappointed. And then finally, I went in. And then I walked out and all the guys waited around because they were shocked, too, that I was there to audition for Old Deuteronomy. And I said, "I got a call back." And they couldn't believe it. Neither did I. I called my agent immediately and said, "I got a call back for Cats." Called my voice teacher. I said, "They want me to learn this music. I've got to learn. I want to know it by heart." So I went back. They drilled me on it in different keys to test my stamina. And then the next callback was at a theater to see how big the voice filled the theater. And by this point, I was just, my nerves were all over the place because this was the first big show that I had gotten this far in. I had auditioned for many, many shows, but for a show of this caliber and to get that close, it was very nerve-wracking. So went home and my agent called me and says, "Come down." So I did. And they had called her already and told her that I had gotten the show. And so she threw a big surprise party for me. And wow. Then it all started from there. Got into rehearsals and saw all of these dancers in leotards and the leg warmers. The leg warmers were big in the 80s. And a lot of them, I think it was their first show also. They were younger than I was, not by much, but, sitting back and watching them learn this number and us learning how to be Cats with a rope tied around our waist and the movements with our hands and our eyes and our face. Our homework was to, as we walked home, is to look at every cat that we could, watch their movement. So we were like zombies. We'd come back into rehearsal the next day and everyone was sort of doing their own thing. It was sort of ethereal. But the fact that we actually were in the show. And then once it got on the road, it was a hit. It was one of the most hit national tours. We played all over the U.S. That was just phenomenal. And it was a crowd pleaser indeed.
Yeah, I mean, you sold out within hours, you know, as I've read more about it, just everywhere you went. And was really the first time that Cats got into other cities. Like, you know, it was in kind of the main city. So you were bringing this craziness and chaos around the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love hearing about the audition and just in general about that process and not being the height or what you would expect for that role. It is kind of it's an interesting role. It's, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of come in later in, you've got this massive, massive, massive costume. Mm-hmm. I know in the revival and a couple other ones that you stayed on stage in intermission. I don't mm-hmm. know if you got to do that or had to do that.
I did. Yeah.
So what was, I guess that's, I would love to talk about that. Cause what is that like, especially you did a couple outdoor theaters on your tour and a couple mm-hmm. others. That to me was I thought it was a mistake when I saw it. I was like, mm-hmm. that's a prop. And I was like, no, that's actually a human. That's actually somebody, a performer staying there. What was the reaction? Like, did you have people coming up on stage? Like, this is pre-selfie, you know, cell phone selfie era.
Right, right. Well, it depended on the theater. If if there was a bridge across the Passarella where the orchestra was, because of insurance reasons, they didn't allow people to come up. But if the orchestra was, let's say, under the stage and they were piping the sound out, they would allow people to come up. And one particular time, I'll never forget it, there was an older lady who came by and they would sort of, you know, keep them flowing so they wouldn't stand there and just stare at you like you're a monument. Because you weren't supposed to look at them. You're supposed to just be there and be this deity, more or less. Mm-hmm. And but I had to look down at her because I could see tears rolling out of her eyes. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I was beginning to get emotional and I thought, I can't do this because I have to sing this recitative in a few minutes and I've got to keep my composure. Well, she apparently, her cat had died recently and her cat looked just like Old Deuteronomy. It was a big gray fluffy cat. So she looked up, she was just like, my kitty Fluffy, and she just stood there and bawled. The ushers had to come and usher her off, and I was welling up it with myself, and I thought, I've got to hold back. I've got to hold back. So wow. I kept my composure. But things like that, kids who were just in awe, just staring at you in disbelief, you know, that they wanted to touch you, but they weren't allowed to. Mm-hmm. You could see a joy on their face. First of all, to get to come on that stage to look at the garbage and look at the rake on the stage and the tire and try to figure everything out. So that was gratifying, you know. But the horrible part was that sitting there with all of the lights and stuff, you would start to dry up. And the song that Deuteronomy had to sing to open the second act was The Moments of Happiness, which is mm-hmm. a recitative. It's very powerful and it's very soft and it's sort of wordy and it's easy to mix up the words. So I would try not to, in my mind, think of the words before, because then I would panic. So I had to think of other things and just let it naturally come out.
Wow. You probably just picked like one point in the crowd and just like stared at it for 15 minutes.
That's what you did.
It sounds like your experience with that was so much more pure than what I got to witness, which was just a bunch of people getting a social media post in 2016. So it's cool that's been a tradition that's kind of stuck forward. I was so confused. I don't think I've ever seen another show that's done something like that.
Yeah. Well, it made the audience a part of the show, even from the get-go, from the beginning, when we would run out into the audience for Green Eyes mm-hmm. and scare people, that they felt encompassed into the show. And depending again on the theater, the proscenium, how far it would go out, that the audience could be a part of the scenery, like it was on Broadway. But most of our theaters were so huge, it was we couldn't do that. But they got the feeling for it.
Yeah, it was, you know, one of the first shows to kind of break the fourth wall in that sense. So I want to go back to not the audition, but when you get the role. And I know that you went through your cat school and you had your weeks of training. You were told a lot about your character. You were basically given a backstory. And that's part of the show that I've spent most time in, is talking about the storyline and the characters and the plot. What were you told about Old Deuteronomy, about his character, his backstory, and then his relationships to the other cats?
Well, Deuteronomy had lived many, 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 many years and had gone through so much in his life that he gained all of this wisdom and not necessarily power, but everyone looked up to him because he was a wise old soul, that he basically became the leader of the tribe because of his wisdom. So he was the glue to the tribe that everyone looked to for answers. If they were happy, if they were sad, when Deuteronomy showed up, they felt comfort and they felt safe. So Deuteronomy would always come in with this, with his head held high, his chest out, you know, the strength that everyone would rejoice. The first entrance for Old Deuteronomy is when he, everyone is wondering, where is he? And all of a sudden he appears, and it's Monkestrap that sees him. And all the tribe gets excited because Deuteronomy's, he's coming, he's going to speak. So there's a rejoicement. So he gets there, and then now the party can begin. Deuteronomy is here, let's enjoy life. So That's my take on it, what they told me.
Okay. And so you're essentially the making the choice, right?
Right.
And that's like kind of what has been given to you.
Right.
Do you feel you even have a chance at being the Jellicle choice?
I feel that I already had that chance, you know, and I chose not to take it because I felt that other people needed it more. That just by being, that was enough because it was a comfort to everyone else. So choosing someone else to go to the Heaviside Lair was gratifying to me, because anyone in that tribe could be the chosen one. And why was Grisabella the chosen one?
Oh, and that's what I've spent a lot of time debating with a lot of people. I think where I'm most fascinated by Old Deuteronomy is I always looked at him as a judge, the judge, judge, jury, and everything in between. But the more I've kind of talked to people, it's, you're not on stage for half the performances.
Right.
So how do you judge all these cats and kittens that you didn't get to witness? Is it because you're just an all-knowing being and you were just consensed?
It's the wisdom. Deuteronomy knows every cat by their actions and what they do. So he, like a mother knows their child. A mother knows when you're lying. You know, she can hear it in your voice. She can see it in your action. So Deuteronomy knows that. You know, I look at the... for me, I look at the tribe and I look at all of the different cats, and I sort of reference them to people in a sense, where as you have the white cat who is quiet and demure, but strong and a wannabe and wants to prove it. And then Tumble Brutus, who is the young one that's eager, I can do this, I can do that. And Deuteronomy is the one that pulls everyone back. That's like, in your time, let it grow. You know, so he can sit back and say, I'm good with this. Go out and do your thing, but I know who you are.
And so, yeah, you don't even need to watch a couple of these.
No, you're no. Like, you can feel it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. What other things were you told about relationships to other cats as Old Deuteronomy? Because I think it's like he's the father of, it seems like it's consensus he's the father of Monkestrap and Tucker.
Yeah, well, he's wanting Monk is Strapped to learn to be a leader, you know, because there will be that day when Deuteronomy will not be there. So there has to be someone that everyone can look up to that has that authority to say no or yes and to protect. So that's why you see Monk is Strapped by Deuteronomy's side quite a bit. Deuteronomy, he proved himself to Deuteronomy. Now Deuteronomy says, prove yourself to me, you know, to take over. So, that's basically. Yeah.
Okay. So do you feel, I mean, I guess I'm interested in hearing all the other pieces. Like, is McCavity your brother? Is there other wives, girlfriends, like, or is that just something that just, you know, you don't think too much of, as much about when you're performing?
Don't really think that much about it. McCavity is, he's, I say, a person who was in the tribe that went astray and went to the bad side, and therefore always has been jealous of Deuteronomy. And didn't like what Deuteronomy, because everyone looked up to Deuteronomy, and he felt, why? So therefore, he arranged Deuteronomy to be kidnapped, to be gone. But it was the powers of Mephistopheles that brought him back, because Deuteronomy will only go when he feels that it is time to go. No one else can make that decision for him.
Mm-hmm. So if you're old Deuteronomy and it's next year, Grizabella's out of the picture.
Right, right.
What's happening in the Jellicle tribe next year?
And the way I look at it is that someone else will be chosen. The only reason why Grizabella was chosen, Grizabella is like the cat or the person, as I use myself as an example. You come from a small town and you have your tribe of people. You move to New York, that's Hollywood. You go there and you become somebody, but something happened and you became tattered. And maybe your head got a little too big, therefore, and so no one wanted to be around you, so you want to come back home. So when Grizabella tries to get back into the tribe, the other cats can sense this something about her that wasn't wrong. It's Deuteronomy that says, hold on, this can happen to you. This is this is someone who left, went out to see the world, and it didn't work out, and we must always welcome them back. So therefore, you know, I choose her to be reborn, to come back to a new life, you know. And I don't, next year for the Jellicle Ball, personally, I don't think that there really has to be anyone chosen each year. It's just whenever it's time for it to happen.
So I love that analogy as someone who moved from not necessarily a small town, but from Indiana to New York. Mm-hmm. So when she comes back the first time and she's still shunned, is that like a Thanksgiving visit? Like, how does that fit in this analogy? Like, is it, you know, she comes home and everyone's kind of, because everyone kind of hates her in that first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, who is this person? She's got this fur on. She's got these heels on and this makeup that's running down her face. You know, who is this person? And a lot of them didn't really know who she was. It was Deuteronomy that conveyed to them she was in the tribe. You know, she's an older person, you know, and she did her thing. Now she wants to come back home, bring her back in. So they got a taste of it. It was only in the second act when she walks in, because they were still a little hesitant, you know, and when Deuteronomy is sitting there and he raises his chest and he holds his hand out to say, wait. And it just gives Grizabella the chance to walk in and to prove herself, to basically say, I'm sorry. Give me a chance. I love you. And then Silabub and the White Cat embraces her. And then it becomes a big family again after she's taken up to the Heaviside Lair.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So in that, I love this analogy. This is why I like talking about the show, is because I hear a different version every time I talk to somebody.
Right.
Which is always very different from the version that I interpreted myself. Mm-hmm. In this scenario, though, does the town not get upset that their old thespian leader of Gus, mm-hmm. or their kind of young, up and coming, fun, you know, rocking the town, Tugger, all these people, not get picked?
Yes, to a certain extent. But then again, no one should be shunned, you know, just because you went astray. It's the acceptance, you know, it's the obvious acceptance. Gus, the theater cat, Grizabella, Rum Tum Tugger, they all will be okay. They're having a wonderful, wonderful life. Grizabella wasn't so much so. Mm-hmm. She needs to get that wonderful life back.
Isn't welcoming, this is me just asking questions to try to convince you that I'm right more than anything. isn't welcoming her back to her town, though, wasn't she better off spending a year there? You know, like not being the choice right away. Come back right. home, live with your kittens that you probably potentially abandoned that are now welcoming you back. Like, I feel like she still needs some time at home.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people would think that way. But my take on Deuteronomy is like, why should she have to wait? You know, why should you have to wait, or you have to wait if this happens to you? Why can't we just forgive right now and forget about it? You know,
what about the precedent you're setting for Victoria? What's now stopping Victoria from going to New York? Living a crazy life and then coming back.
I think Victoria will. Should go to New York. Victoria is, okay. I mean, she's the white pure cat, but how pure is she?
Well, based on the dance that I saw during the Jellicle Ball, it's not that pure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I like this. Again, I like this theory. So my argument's always been that it shouldn't be Grizabella, that, because I watched it as a singing competition. Purely. Yeah. A visual of you're a judge, like an American Idol, an X Factor, or any of those versions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if I watch individually, cat by cat by cat, that wasn't my favorite. It was amazing. I mean, the performance memory is an amazing performance every time. Mm-hmm. But I was more entertained by other characters throughout.
You see, and that's the fascinating thing, I think, about cats, because there's so much going on and no one's going to look at one cat all the time. You choose a cat who really gets to you. It's like, I really love this cat, you know, Skimbleshanks, you know, the orange cat. He's so fun. And, you know, your eye wants to go there. And just the little things that you're doing on stage, you know, you find your niche and you really develop that character because you are trying to prove to Deuteronomy that you are worthy. But then you get it. You get it.
And again, that's kind of why I'm so fascinated by it, because I watched it as if you're the judge. And then the more I've watched the show or learned about it, I'm like, you're not even watching half of them. You're just I don't even need to see these. Like, I know they're not going to get picked. Whereas I'm sitting there going like, I thought Tugger's performance was great. I thought Mustafa's performance was great. But and then the more I've argued it, the more I've argued that Gus should be the choice.
Yeah. Well, Gus, the old theater cat, wise and you know, about to die. But then he shows, you know, what he was when he was younger, you know. But then again, even though he's old and feeble, he never lived the life of Grisabella, of leaving that tribe and becoming so tattered and destitute, more or less, that he didn't need to be welcomed back in because he's there, you know. And he's almost up there, I think, with Deuteronomy as far as his wisdom, because he's a strong person that you want to listen to, because he's a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm. So if you were, so what I'm hearing, which I kind of love this, and I'm poking mostly at it and picking at it just because it's fascinating to me. So I'm hearing that you know, you don't think there's a jellicle choice every year. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's because someone needs to kind of leave, mm-hmm. experience life outside the tribe and come back, mm-hmm. which means you're probably not going to have all that many jellicle choices unless there's a bunch of other Grisabellas out there that we're just not introduced to in our 2.5 hours.
Right, right. And, you know, and anyone can become a Grisabella at any given time, you know, because as the kittens grow up and Victoria goes to Hollywood, or Rum Tum Tugger goes to Hollywood and live this life of purgatory or whatever, and comes back in, then to me, you have proven that you're worthy, that you are able to weather the storm out there, you know, and mm-hmm. stay strong and not be defeated in a physical manner, kept your mind and knew where to come to be reborn again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, humor me. I know you've done hundreds of performances here, so you've obviously know this way too well. If you were asked, if you just said, hey, look, Trevor Nunn, Andrew Lloyd Webber, someone comes up to you and goes like, look, we're thinking about a different ending. Who would you pick? Or would you still defend Grisabella to the end of time?
Who would I pick to go to the Heaviside Lair? Wow.
Maybe nobody.
It is such a high of being on that tire and singing that last song. You are Moses up there. So I personally don't think I would choose anyone. No chance. I would, you know, walk on that tire, let it raise, and hold my hand out and sing that last song. Because everyone is poised and they are looking at you at that message, and you feel like God. It's just amazing.
that's awesome. I really appreciate you humoring with me. I love your theory of like the left and came back and mm-hmm. you know, all the different things. I think that's how I interpreted it, but in a different sense of like, that's not that her being welcomed back home. It was more of like, she's just picked, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, just kind of came back. She sang her thing and got picked. I want to pivot a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about the fundraiser? I would love to hear a little bit about the fundraiser from your tour, but then also what you did in most recently in this past October.
Oh, yeah.
I know you were pretty involved in it, right?
I was. It was actually my idea to.
Your idea.
It was one morning I was watching the news, and I, you know, was the height of all of this. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice just to get the cast back together just for fun? I wasn't even thinking of a fundraiser at the time, just to do the opening number because everyone sings it. So I called Jonathan and he said, first he was like, yeah, and he thought, you know what? We should do it as a fundraiser. And I went, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. So I got on my computer. I contacted as many cast members as possible to see if they would be interested. It was immediate. Yes, yes, yes. And it took us a few weeks to put everything together. But after we did, and a lot of people, oh, I can't sing anymore. And I can't do this. And I said, oh, that muscle memory will come right back. And they all sound wonderful. Yeah. We were one of the, I think we were the first national tour to start the Equity Fight AIDS on tour. We did the Michael Bennett benefit, and we also, what's her name? Lily Tomlin. We did a benefit with her and raised lots of money. And we were much younger then, so therefore we could do a show, get out of makeup, go to the place and do a show at 11 o'clock for about an hour or so, and sleep, get up and do another show. So it was fun. So I knew from what we did back then that we could pull together and do this again. And it's been a success. Thank you, Broadway Cares.
Yeah. And I mean, I got to watch it. I talked to Jonathan and a couple other people when it first came out, and it's still, you know, people still can donate. So we'll include a link in the description.
Perfect.
Here. But
great.
I loved it. You know, I've heard more and more about your experience in the 80s doing that. And it's, you know, not only did you raise a ton of money, but you were learning additional numbers.
Yeah.
In between your shows and doing them on the off nights and still filling theaters, raising, I mean, just a ton of money. I mean, it's really an incredible story to kind of bring back, and then being able to kind of bring it into today, you know, with everything going on, to be able to support another cause.
Yeah. We were, thinking about national tours back in the 80s. I mean, it was top notch. And to say in a few words, we were spoiled, and, you know, they took good care of us. We had a, we could get a massage at night after we got home. They paid a masseuse to come in and to give us a massage, which the dancers needed it. And then some of our two of our cast members started doing it. So they started paying them. So I look at the dancers, you know, they, after doing the ball, learning cats, and then while we were doing the other benefits, going to the studio at midnight and learning other numbers. You know, I would go for moral support because I just had to sing. That's all I had to do. So I'd wait my turn. And if you ever get a chance, I don't know if Jonathan still has a video of it. It's so worth seeing. It was put together so well. And the theater was packed, you know, because you say cats, you put cats with anything back in the 80s, boom, people would be there, except for those who thought we were a baseball team. the show jackets.
Who thought you were a baseball team?
We were, when we were touring, you know, on the bus, we would stop at malls to eat or whatever, and we all had our show jackets on, you know. And there are the different types of show jackets. There's the wool jacket with the leather sleeve. There's the cotton jacket that looks more like a baseball jacket. So I had one of those on, and I was walking by, and this man says, "Cass, which baseball team is that?" And I said, "The Broadway." So he knew nothing about cats, and that was exciting to a sense that, wow, there's someone actually who doesn't know about cats, but he associated it with baseball. So that is
fascinating. I haven't heard that before. I kind of love all that. There's a little bit of a, you know, as a sports fan, I think, like, I'm kind of the reverse. I'm probably one of the few people that, like, generally now knows cats, but it's the reverse. You kind of either know cats or you know baseball. Not a huge mix in that Venn diagram there in between. But so where would you think the Cats baseball team is from?
I would say Yonkers.
Yonkers.
Yeah.
I like it. Isn't there a Yonkers? I think there's a minor league team in Yonkers.
I think there is. Yeah.
I want to do a little bit of a rapid fire, but before we do that, I would love to hear, did you see the most recent movie?
I did.
What did you think?
I'm one of those people that sort of gives things the benefit of the doubt, but it was so different. And I, to be nice, it was interesting.
Yeah. So I think the question I have is, I've talked a lot about it. I did a review for it. I went to see it when it opened. But as someone who was in the show, and it's 20 years later, you know, it's multiple, almost 30 years later, did seeing the movie kind of bring back any of your, like, did you go see it with other past cast members? Like, was there a little bit of that, the nostalgia of sorts, even though it was very different for you?
Well, I sort of didn't know what to expect. And I wanted to go with other cast members. There are a couple of musicians that brought homes up here also that I wanted to go with who did the show. But they chose not to see it. And so I decided, well, you know what, let me just go and with an open mind and just watch this and see what I get out of it for myself. First of all, I thought it was, they humanized it too much, you know, that I didn't like. And then I didn't like the take on some of the music, you know, the Tugger or the Grisabella, the way that they presented the song. It became too modernized. It took the meat out of the show. It broke the plot down a little bit better that you could understand, but then that makes it too easy. I think T.S. Eliot wants you to think about these characters, that you can come up with what you think, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, as the more I've kind of I watched it in theaters, and then I tried to watch it again, try to make someone in my family sit down and watch it, and they could only get halfway through.
Yeah.
And then they said we have to stop. But the more I've thought about it is I think they just put too much money into making this a big production versus staying in a lane of like, we don't need all the, no one needs to tell the story. Yeah. Just stick to the traditional, much, you know, a well put together version of what people expect to see on stage, but right, not on stage. And you would have had a fairly successful show with half the cost of production and still had a lot more people that enjoyed it versus what ended up happening, where now everyone's kind of distanced themselves from it.
Yeah. To me, it didn't come across as a theater piece. It came across as a movie set, which is, I guess that's what they were going for, but it's just Cats, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway,
I mean, it's a baseball. It's like one of the best baseball teams in the country.
Exactly.
So let's do some rapid fire. A couple quick things just about, I love to ask these types of questions. So my first one is I know you've said a couple times, you're not more of a dancer or a singer. Suspend all, if you could do any of them, if you just had the ability immediately, which character would you want to play? Like, which track would you love to do if you just were like, I'm totally capable, forget vocal range or anything like that, I can do anybody. Who would you want to go perform as?
Rum Tum Tugger.
Tugger. You want to go out there and just rock and roll?
Oh, rock and roll.
Amazing. What is your favorite song?
My favorite song in the show?
In the show, yes.
I would say Skimbleshanks.
Skimbleshanks. Mm-hmm. Ooh, interesting. And what about it that, like, what do you love about it?
It was moving and exciting. And you've got this big orange cat that comes out that's, you know, telling his story, and he's upbeat and everyone's enjoying it. And it's sort of bouncy.
It's a super fun number. I think it's a number I personally misinterpreted the most. Mm-hmm. As I like tried to break it down, and then I got called out by Colin, who was in the revival in 2016, and told me all the things I got very, very wrong in my interpretation. But I did enjoy, I think part of the reason I didn't enjoy as much is when they make the, I love that they started to make the train, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of built mm-hmm. this thing out of the set, mm-hmm. and then they flash a light into the audience.
It hit me.
I was really angry because I like couldn't see for a good 30 seconds after.
Oh yeah.
So I think I'm scarred from that particular number. What about your favorite and least favorite character in the show?
Favorite character would be Gus. Least favorite character would be Alonzo.
And then my last rapid fire question, if you were to be quarantined with one of the characters, you're stuck at home.
Oh God.
Which one are you stuck with?
I'm stuck with Tumble Brutus.
Tumble Brutus. I've not had anyone say that one. What's your answer for that?
He was my roommate on tour. So.
Okay. So purely the person, not the character.
Well, the character, let's see. Wow. Again, I would say Tumble Brutus because he was fun. He's a strong young cat that's going to see the world, and he would make me laugh constantly.
You know what I found most interesting is I've asked this question to a lot of people is it's very situational. And so it's like the people who are in New York in small apartments are like, who could I spend in a small apartment with?
Yeah.
And then people who are out and they're like, oh, who would have, who'd take care of me or who would be fun or who would this? And so it's like there's been no consistency in answers.
Oh gosh, I'm sure.
It's been great. Where else can we find you? What else are you working on? How can we find you on social media?
Oh, wow. I'm doing sort of a lot of things. Two summers ago, I worked at Glimmer Glass. It's an opera house up here where I live. And we did a production of Showboat. I had done the national tour with Hal Prince years ago and Susan Stroman, and also did it in London. And then I left, when I left Cats, I went to Germany and did Andrew Lloyd Webber's Starlight Express, learned that in German, and 8 hours of roller skating. And that was a phenomenal show and a phenomenal set that's still going on. They have since taken out Deuteronomy and now they have Mama. And the Mama is the original Pearl on Broadway, Reba Rice. So that was interesting. But here in Albany area, I do a lot of commercials. I play politicians and doctors and things like that. In 2015, I did a movie called Moving Mountains that starred Teresa Russell. And it's a true story on coal mining in West Virginia. And I played a living legislator, Arlie Johnson, who helped get things passed because there are still things going on in that state. And one reason why I got the movie is the movie is about a girl that I went to high school with who went to West Virginia. And she thought of me that I reminded her so much of Arlie. I had to audition and do all that stuff and screen test and I ended up getting it. I've since become a chocolatier. I have my own company. I have a website. I just opened a store here. One foot is always in the door as far as theater, and I'll never leave it completely. But I've found other avenues to sort of keep going and keep my life exciting. And
what you have to share the website so we can.
Oh, sure. It's theostentatious.com.
TheAustentatious.com. I'll link that as well.
Okay.
So you can order. Do you ship across the country?
I certainly do.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with me today and kind of bringing me back to this, this kind of crazy time of Cats when it was, the Hamilton. Yeah. It's fun to kind of hear from your cast and your company all about what that experience was like, since it's mm-hmm. so different than almost even what it's been today and, 40 years later.
Yeah, God, 40 years. That makes me really old.
Thank you, everyone else, for listening to this episode with Austin Jaton on The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical, Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.